All right, just take a few minutes to share some stories of what God's doing here. Probably let you out a little bit earlier so you can enjoy your day here this morning. But if you don't know me, my name is Johnny. I'm the site director here at Spruce Lake. I know most of you from the years that you've been here in the past. Any first-timers here with us this morning that have not been here for in August? Maybe you've been here for something else but never been here for August family? Great, we've got all of it. So you all know me then. Okay, that's good to know. No introduction needed. So I want to just share a few stories, some things from my life. I've gotten to interact with a lot of you guys in various ways, but not necessarily where I've, you know, maybe been able to share with you some of what God's done for me through camp and some of the ways that he's working here. And I think that stories are powerful. I think that God works through stories. You see Jesus telling all sorts of stories in the Gospels where he shares his different parables and all sorts of stories with his disciples and teaches through those things. So memories at camp also last. I'm not great always at recalling stories from my childhood. Have lots of great times as a child, but I never felt like I was a storyteller. But from camp, I have oodles of stories of things that God's done here. So I remember one week as a kid, I was on an expedition out at Wilderness Camp. We'll sometimes do some off-site excursions. And one of my first summers here, I went on a Catskills excursion where we did some hiking and some mountain biking. We were supposed to do climbing, but I think it got rained out. I had a guy named Bill Waring that was my counselor. And I did not have a lot of experience mountain biking. It wasn't something I had done much before this trip, but, you know, I thought, I've biked around, you know, on roads and things. I would go off on adventures. Grew up living in Long Island. One time I even went all the way to the end of Long Island, about 100 miles, and took a train back. So, I'd done my fair share of biking. That was probably after this trip. But not a lot of stuff on trails. And so when we were out on the trail, I was getting over a downhill, hit a rough patch, and I went over my handlebars and scraped up my hands pretty good and had fallen down there. And so back at camp, we were getting it get fixed up, and the counselor, Bill, that I had mentioned, was putting some numbing stuff on my hand to be able to try to make it feel better, and it was still just very painful, and I was convinced that it was not working. Was convinced this stuff doesn't work. I was still in pain. And so in a classic Spruce Lake camp counselor fashion, Bill immediately just took some and put it on his tongue and said, yep, it is working. So that's what you need to do. If you want to be a camp counselor, you got to be willing to take risks and make sacrifices for the good of your camper. And it deflected the situation. I felt much better after he had done that. Another story, a highlight of my time at Wilderness Camp. There's always a highlight that is the nighttime game. Anybody ever been out to our Wilderness Camp? Been out as a camper or anything? A couple in the back, a few over there. Yeah, some of you guys have been out there. So we play, and actually we're bringing it here for this week that we're going to try something new here. But we have a nighttime game that we call Mission Impossible. Anyone ever remember Mission Impossible? So basically, the goal of Mission Impossible, there's guards, kind of like persecution, without the parts that make me worried that we're going to get sued. So all of these guards are out in the woods, and you have to get from destination to destination without getting caught. And so the counselors go, there's like a skit usually, it's like hyped up music, all sorts of things, and then the counselors usually get like really dark clothing on and get all hyped up to blend into the darkness. And my first year as a camper, I had a guy named Marcus Brunstetter was my counselor. He did an amazing job, got us super excited for this game. But he had night blindness. So anyone knows what that is? Basically, you can't see at all in the dark. Not a really good game to have night blindness with. So we proceeded to spend most of the hour lying in the woods, but it was very exciting as we heard the guards nearby, and it was still a good experience. A bit of a story more of how I was able to grow in my time, a way of how God worked, and an example of who I saw working in that. And there's so many examples of God's faithfulness in the staff out at Wilderness Camp and in all of our ministry. But I was in a leader in training program, getting a little bit older at this point. And at that time, the camp director was a guy named Kent Kaufman, who was there for many years. And this was my first chance that I could remember where God had given me an opportunity to lead and serve, and I was able to like prepare a devo for the other LITs. I got to assist the staff. I began to see how God was shaping me to be a leader, how God was shaping me to be able to be someone that could speak into the lives of others. And one significant memory that I have of my time as an LIT was when I was asked to take out the trash by my leader. That was part of our duties, that I was expected to be able to pick up and do things around camp. We usually say that the quickest way to get fired is to say it's not my job around here at camp, which can also lead to burnout. We might need to look at that. But that's a healthy, you know, servant leadership type of attitude. And so I was asked to take out the trash, and I was a little bit hesitant. Didn't feel like doing that at that moment. I kind of sat there for a moment and didn't immediately respond to start taking out the trash. And the next thing that I knew, I noticed that Ken, the director at Wilderness Camp, was taking out the trash for me. I was mortified, but never said a word, took out all of the trash, and I never forgot, and was pretty quick, I think, to respond for the rest of the time when I was asked to do anything. And that was just another example of servant leadership, of the ways that God uses stories at camp to be able to shape people. I'm sure that each of you guys have stories that you guys could tell of ways that God has used your time here at camp, maybe to strengthen your relationship with your family, maybe to just be a break from what's going on. And we also have so many that are serving away from family as counselors for the first time or as our summer staff. As I continue in my journey of my time here, I remember that I was truly given a first leadership responsibility where I had, what we do here at camp is a little bit insane, where we take a bunch of like 18-year-olds and we say, here's a bunch of 10-year-olds for the week. You're responsible to keep them alive. And I have struggles, frankly, it was a nice break to come over here and have a break from my three children at home. Somehow, as an 18-year-old, I could handle 10. I'm not sure how that exactly works. It is a little bit different, and sometimes it's easier when it's not mom and dad, right? But at the time, I felt very confident in my abilities. I thought, you know, I can do this, no problem at all. I can take a group of 10-year-olds and allow them to survive for a week. But I think there's something special about that. When we give young people an opportunity to show that they can lead, when I was given that opportunity to say, you know what, we do trust you to take this group of young people and keep them alive for a week. And that pushed me, and I think it pushes our staff to be able to grow as leaders and followers of Christ. My time as a counselor pushed me to a deeper place in my faith and as a leader of others, and it utilized skills I didn't know that I had to be able to shape the lives of these young people, to be able to have spiritual conversations, to be able to lead and guide. And even later on, as I came back as a full-time staff, to be able to see summer staff, there's some, I don't know if I see the mom at least in the back there. We had a couple that got baptized last summer, that a lot of their significant spiritual journey was at camp, and so they chose to get baptized in the pool at the end of the summer. We have tonight, one of our summer staff is getting baptized in the pool. And just amazing opportunities to be able to see young people shaped and grown in their spiritual journey. But there's also times that are hard. There are times that have been a struggle in my working here. A few months ago, I had to deal with a child from a group who, and this is not an uncommon thing, but who pulled the fire alarm. And then a few minutes later, after I did my master's this past year, and I was reading a book down in Chestnut, and all of a sudden, all the alarms went off. And I was like, well, that's great. I'll go take a break from my master's here and figure what's going on. So reset it all, got the fire marshal called off, sent him back or whatever, saw that it was pulled. Actually, it was one of the ones on the fourth floor that had been pulled. And I could easily say, what a terrible group. We never want them back again, right? And actually, right after that, for a second time, that the alarm went off. I think the first time was actually in a room. It triggered a smoke detector, and then a second time it was pulled on that fourth one. And we determined that it was actually kids that were smoking marijuana in the room and then tried to cover it up very cleverly by trying to pull the fire alarm so that we wouldn't figure out that the smoke alarm had gone off in their room. But we have sensors that tell us that, and they were not able to get away with that. So very easily, I could write that kid off as a failure. I could say, you know, there's no hope for that child. Oh, what a terrible group. We don't want that group to come back. And, you know, not everyone is as wonderful as August Family Week. There are groups that are harder than others. But our theme for this year is about grace, how we are saved by grace in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. If you don't mind, actually, if you can pull that up, we'll read that together in a moment. Ron, if you don't mind pulling up Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. But I was reminded that Christ is working even in those. And at the end of that week, I received this email from the group leader who said, first of all, I want to say thank you so much for you and your staff in being so accommodating and welcoming to our group. Many students encountered Jesus for the first time, and we had 9 students share their testimonies on how they were impacted while at Spruce Lake. They went on to apologize for the fire alarms incident and closed by saying, thank you again from the bottom of my heart for helping us to introduce many students to Jesus. Again, I could have written off that kid and said, there's no hope. I learned later that there was a lot more going on in that child's life, and I think he had to leave early to be able to get some more help for some of the things that were going on. But there were 9 students that were impacted by their time there and shared that in their testimonies. So if you don't mind pulling that up together, let's read Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 together. If it's ready on the screen, we can pull that up. Is that okay? No? Okay. I'll just read it to you then, and you guys can follow along if you have your Bibles for Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And I won't spend a lot of time. I think Aaron will be touching on this verse throughout the week, but I want to just read this together. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. There we go. Why don't we read that together on the screen? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. It is the gift of God, right? What a gift it is to be able to see lives changed through the grace of God and through our extension of that as we seek to live out that grace in our own lives, as we seek to not get angry with that camper or that student in a way that doesn't show the love and grace of God. So I want to just give you a little bit of an update and a vision for the future as we look to what God is doing. There's so many stories that I shared. Those are all stories from my life. Again, I know that there are many in this room that might have similar stories of how God has worked. I want you to take a moment. I want you to consider how you would describe camp to a stranger that you, this camp that you love. Think about somebody that knows nothing of camp. Take a moment. Think, what is it? Or actually talk to your neighbor. Tell them one thing that you would say about camp that would be a way that you would describe camp to a stranger. Take a moment and do that. Come on back. So some of the ways that I may typically describe where I work is I might say that it's a retreat center and summer camp or something of that nature. I might think of the word Mennonite and our rich history and foundation with the Mennonite Church. When I describe this place, though, as just a camp or a retreat center, or even if I tie it to something that is for Mennonites or a place for Christians to go or something of that nature, I think I'm underselling what this space was created to be and has been. Spruce Lake is so much more than this. And so I want to posit to you that this morning that we are Christ's ambassadors fulfilling a desperate need of every single individual in our world. I think every individual needs Jesus, ultimately, right? They need spiritual growth. connection. It can be very easy to even within a church setting, come to church and have no connection with others, right? You show up, maybe you make some smiles, but there's not a deeper connection. And they need, I think, a retreat and break from rhythms. It can be very easy for us to get stuck in a rut, and you need a few days away maybe to just be able to reorient yourself and think through what it is that God is doing in your life. So I sincerely believe that the best way to reach and change a broken and hurting church and world is through a break from what is normal and time away. I think God moves through times at camp. How many of this room, in this room again, have a testimony based on what has been done at camp, like those 9 students that I mentioned from that group? It's not just a nice place for Christians to have some fun, though absolutely that is part of it, and we will have a lot of fun here this week. But I believe we're fulfilling an essential human need for Jesus, for spiritual growth, for connection with others, and for a break from our rhythms. So I want to share a little bit about how we're meeting that need, both in the past and currently, and as we look to the future. There's so many different ministries here. I've mentioned a bit already about Wilderness Camp, but I wanted to share a few quotes from campers that Dave Trout, that is our development director, shared with me this morning of some ways that God's been doing that here. He says, this is a comment from one parent that says, "I asked my son what he learned, and he said, 'I'm going to pray more to Jesus.' And he said, 'That's all I needed to hear.' Another one said, 'I was really impressed to see my children memorizing scripture.' Another said, 'Our son had a very positive experience overall. He gained confidence, developed more personal responsibility, and most importantly, significantly grew in his Christian faith.' Another said, 'I am more than grateful for the help financially this year. We have never needed it before and thought he wouldn't be able to come this year until we were told about the scholarship opportunity. Thank you.' Any person can come to camp for $75 if they need to, without any questions. This was Kaya's first time away from home and first time at any camp. She absolutely loved it. She felt at home with the staff and ate up the games and activities. Thank you for faithfully loving Jesus and these kids." Another said, "We just continue to be so impressed with the entire Spruce Lake camp experience, both day camp and wilderness camp. The campus is so special and offers a one-of-a-kind experience in nature. The counselors truly care for our children, and the emphasis on Christian faith is so appreciated." And they said they're also impressed. "As parents, we feel completely confident putting our children in Spruce Lake's hands." So our wilderness camp and day camp are sometimes the first time that a child is away and encounter Christ on our mountainside. Our day camp is a primarily unchurched and confused community that's looking for answers. Most of the kids in this area have never really heard much about Jesus before. We don't have a heavily churched community in this area, both here and at Pinebrook, where we have our second day camp that's now exceeded the numbers here at Spruce Lake, as that program is up and running with a great deal of strength. We also have our outdoor education program that builds connection between students and teachers in a way that doesn't happen in the classroom. You see students that are having fun and interacting with their teachers in a way that you typically don't see when they're having to just share information. We have now expanded. We have 7 different Ignite Youth Winter weekends where God is changing lives through our churches that come. We're seeing lives saved and changed through their time there. We have adult and family programs, you all, where marriages can be restored, ministry leaders made right through our pastors and worship leaders and youth pastors conferences. And we are seeing families united and traditions formed. Guest groups, amazing stories of how the Holy Spirit is working in our guest groups, like I've already shared. So our ministry, though, is not just to our guests, as you guys have experienced that yourselves, but also to our staff. And how do we provide support and build into our staff, again, to meet these essential needs of Jesus, spiritual formation, connection, and retreat? So I want to just take a moment and share with you about 2 new programs that we're doing here at Spruce Lake. Maybe you've heard about the last few years we've had our Agape program, where we've had an intern program that we've had 6 individuals each year that have served across all departments for a year, having weekly devotions with different leaders, being able to just form as spiritual people and also have a camp experience. As we use class and camp experience to develop leaders. But we're also starting a Renew Gap Year program this fall in about 3.5 weeks, where we have so far 6 students in that and 5 committed to Agape, where they'll have their first year of college that they're able to experience here at camp so that they can tell some of those same stories that I was telling, and they'll be able to have college classes taught by our staff members on things like personal finance, in addition to spiritual classes and leadership development classes. So just so many amazing things that God is doing here. And I'm excited to be a part of it. I also wanted to share that this is something you've probably heard about from Mark in the past. We have 16 cabins that we've been looking to build. That's been a process for years. We had started that before COVID, and I think in about 10 days, we're going to be breaking ground for those cabins, that we have all of the permits in place. Yeah, you can thank God for that. So I want to just paint a picture for the future, and you can imagine with me and be in prayer with me for what we can do through this ministry, what God can do through the ministry of Spruce Lake. So imagine that in addition to six or more people in the Agape program who are 21 or older, we have 10 to 12 students, 18 to 20 years old, who are leaving home for the first time. And with those, we have three objectives. We want to use classes and camp experience to develop leaders. We want to effectively mentor and disciple young people to help them discover how God is calling them forward. And we want to find a cost-effective way for students in Spruce Lake to have a year-round staffing model to support us in our ministry. Some of you have experienced some of what it's like when we're short-staffed before, and know that that's not necessarily the most fun thing as a guest. And this is one of the ways that God's providing for that. Maybe you've experienced some of the struggles of leaving home. You've seen that maybe in your children, where there's a loneliness and lack of support in going to a traditional college, struggling in managing finances, and maybe even you question some of the accumulation of knowledge that they have in some of their classes and consider how they're going to use that. And even in some of our Christian colleges, I think there's a lack of biblical grounding at times. College can be a great thing to teach discipline and independence, but in many ways, kids are set up for failure and I don't think get taught how to properly apply knowledge in many times. And so it is our goal to see what we see in our summer staff every year, where we see those struggles, to be able to allow these young people to think practically and be able to apply that knowledge and do it right away in their integration into our work, where we'll do that. So again, imagine with me that we had a year of training for our summer staff. Imagine we can take a group of young people and train them for a year in college classes that benefit them in how to live, make a budget, lead others, problem solve, study scripture and apologetics, and things that are not purely academic, but each class directly related to the experience of their lives. Imagine we can provide consistent support of 18 people who can then take ownership of our new wilderness campus with those 16 cabins and oversee all of the cleaning and things out there while also developing our leadership team for the summer. Imagine we can send out this force of people to connect with ministries in our community as they serve twice a month with churches in our area and provide a deep connection with Spruce Lake that we've never had in the past with our local churches. As I mentioned, there's a lot of a need and hunger for truth in our local area. That we can work through those churches. Imagine we can have trained recruiters with the guidance of dorm parents, yet at an age where they can connect with high school and college students and share personally about why they love camp, like you guys shared with your neighbors a moment ago. We're looking to create more deeply formed whole people who know how to live life in a way that makes a difference. That's what we're looking to do. And that extends beyond just Agape and Renew to the rest of our staff as they have the chance to pour into young people, as they get to be a part of all of the things that God's doing as well. So I want to just close with a story of Nehemiah. Some of you are probably familiar with the story of Nehemiah. It's an incredible story of how a man was chosen by God to leave the comfort of a good job as a cupbearer to the king, to essentially lead a group of volunteers to give up their lives for a time and face danger and persecution so that they could rebuild the temple wall. It's a story of vision, achievement, administration, service, and sacrifice. And yet I want to read to you how it begins. So this is Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 to 6, if you'd like to turn there, if you have your phones or your Bibles this morning, your Bible on your phone. And again, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. So it says, these are the memoirs of Nehemiah, son of Hekaliah. It says, in late autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was at the fortress of Susa. Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. They said to me, things are not going well for those who returned to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire. When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. And then I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. And it goes on with this prayer. Now, Nehemiah, as you hear in this prayer, was utterly and totally desperate, weeping and mourning for days, fasting and praying. I cannot remember a time that I have been this desperate. Maybe think for yourself, the time where you've been like Nehemiah. Oftentimes, actually, my desperation, when I am feeling desperate, comes out of a desire for control and a lack of trust in our God. I often, whenever things are not going how I want to, I try to control more. I try to be able to have my desperation, I try to take control of those things. Yet Nehemiah's desperation was directed at the one who can provide. Right? You see that in his prayer as he's seeing the temple walls destroyed and it brings him to despair. And yet what does he do? He doesn't turn and say, you know what? I've got a five-step plan to be able to make this wall come back together. He gets there. He gets to the planning and the vision for it. But he begins in a place of prayer and a desperation that is directed toward our God who can provide. As we seek to grow the ministry of Spruce Lake in the coming months and years, I believe we must do this rooted in prayer and desperate for the power that comes from beyond ourselves. So I want to make it my goal to take my moments of desperation, my times where I desire control, I want to take those to the Lord, to the God that can meet our needs. I'll be honest and open with you guys about our needs, but in a way that speaks out of the knowledge that God will provide. We've had a lot of needs. You've heard about through COVID and everything else, the ways that God has continually stepped up. And yet still, even though I know that God's going to meet our needs, I still often doubt in the moment, have moments where I don't think that he's going to come through. And I will say it's a blessing to be a part of a ministry that's committed to prayer and the God who provides. And I am eager to see how God continues to show up in new ways as we move forward. God has worked in amazing ways. This is our 60th year in ministry. We started in 1963. So perhaps you've been pointed towards Christ through some ministry, maybe a camp or another one, whether that is, at any place that you've been pointed to Christ. I want you to consider again and remember when you've had a time where you needed a break from the rhythms of life and you found that, how you found ways to lead, serve, and grow. But I want us to not just be content with what we've done for the past 60 years, maybe for you to consider the ways that you've served in the past, but not be content with that. I want us to look for how we can grow more disciples of Christ in the coming days and years. I am blown away by what God has in store for this place in the future. To imagine the capacity to have these cabins that can have year-round ministry where there are lives changed all 12 months of the year for young people in a way that doubles the number of campers that we have in the summer, perhaps. And the Renew and Agape that I already mentioned. There are so much that God is doing. So if any of what I have said compels you to make a difference in your world, I'd love to talk with you about how you can hear more about that through us, or if it hopefully pushes you to be able to find ways to do that in your own circles, in your own communities. But some ways that you guys can just be in prayer for us is through those programs that we're starting. And in the things that are going on here, just be in prayer for those things. Be in prayer for what God is doing. Be in prayer that God can continue to make a difference in our world. There's a lot that's changed here in the last 10 years. There's a lot that God's doing. But I want you to be in prayer for what God's doing. Pray with the desperation of Nehemiah that God would move in our world and our churches to call people to wake up from the normal rhythms of their lives and live as changed people who are totally sold out for Christ. Will you join me in that prayer as you go from here? And let's pray for that now as we close our service together. Lord God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the many people of Scripture that have lived lives of being changed, where they have been able to look past their own needs, where they've been able to look past their own desires for control and be able to look to you who can provide, Lord. So help me, help each of us to be able to find ways to put that trust in you, Lord. Help us to also be able to find ways to extend grace for when we fail in those desperation and when we see others fail, Lord, that we'll be able to extend that grace to them, Lord, as you have shown it to us, as you have shown it to so many other stories in Scripture where we see that there are individuals who obviously did not go to you in desperation, Lord, where they failed and yet still you continue to show up, Lord. I thank you so much for the lives that have been changed here through August Family Week, the lives that have been changed here this summer, Lord, the lives that will continue to be changed as you use this mountainside for your glory and your kingdom and your honor, Father. We pray all of this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.